Good morning, my friends, and welcome again to worship here at South Congregational Church. I do want to remind everyone again, as I did last week, if you are in need of a mask, our Sewing Smiles ministry is cranking them out. All you have to do is email renee.soderberg@gmail.com. Let her know how many you need and where to mail them out to, and they'll be on the way. There's no charge. This is an effort from our Sewing Smiles ministry, and we're happy to do it. I also want to remind you to share any photos of things you've been doing, the ways you've been dealing with this quarantine, good or bad. But you know, send us a little note and a picture to one of our deacons, Mary Moffitt, at deaconmarymoff@gmail.com. And she's going to make a little album and put it on our Facebook page. We would love to see what everybody's been doing, since we can't see what everybody's been doing. So feel free to share it with us. We are in the book of Proverbs this morning. King Solomon, David and Bathsheba's son, is the author of the book of Proverbs, most of the book of Proverbs. As the story goes, Solomon had just solidified control of the kingdom, the unified kingdom of Israel, when God appeared to him in a dream. And God asked him, "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." How would you answer that question? Can you imagine? One wish. What is it that you want? Ask, and I will give it to you. Of all the things Solomon could have asked for, he replies in 1 Kings 3, verse 9, "Give me an understanding heart. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who is by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" I find that fascinating. God, give me an understanding heart so I can be able to tell the difference between right and wrong. Only the Lord in our heart can really tell us what's right and wrong. If we leave it to ourselves to make the decision, we'll get it wrong almost every time. That's why at the beginning of this quarantine, when you went to the grocery store, there was no toilet paper, because everybody wanted to grab so much that they didn't leave any for you. That's what happens when humans are left to make the decision between right and wrong. He asks for God to help him discern between right and wrong. Who is able to govern this great people of yours? Give me an understanding heart. Because Solomon didn't ask for money, he didn't ask for fame, he didn't ask for power. Because he asks for wisdom, God's wisdom, so that he would be a good ruler, God is so pleased. He is so pleased that he responds in verse 10. "The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom," not stuff. "So God replied, 'Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had or ever will have. And," in verse 13, "I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give you a long life." See, when we ask for God's wisdom, when we ask for God's will to be done in our lives, We are greatly blessed, sometimes beyond our wildest imagination. So, Solomon becomes the wisest man who ever lived. And he left for us a legacy of that written wisdom in three volumes: Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Songs. We are in Proverbs chapter 3 this morning. Please join me in the unison prayer as we prepare to study the Word of God. Let us pray. Lord, upon the pages of this book is your story. It is also our story. Open our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, our minds that we may understand, and our hearts that they may be transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 5. Some of this might sound familiar. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you the path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then He will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when He corrects you. For the Lord corrects those He loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. King Solomon, the wisest, richest, most famous man that ever lived, says to number one, trust in the Lord. Number two, don't be impressed with your own wisdom and intellect. Number three, honor the Lord with your wealth. And number four, do not reject discipline. Now, I'm going to work backwards this morning. That's just what I decided to do. So I'm going to start with number four. Do not reject discipline. No one likes discipline, especially when it is taking place. Have you ever been a child or met a child who likes being in timeout? No, it's the worst thing ever. Do you know a teen who enjoys being told they can't go to the mall and meet up with their friends? Although I don't even know, do teens still do that? It used to be a big thing when I was growing up, going to the mall. But when they're told there are some restrictions on their freedom and on their behavior and their movement because they're being disciplined, how does that go over? I've discovered, however, that even teens really do crave structure and discipline. You may not think so, because it doesn't seem like it in the moment. But when they grow up, when they become adults, especially when they have children of their own, the light bulb will go on and they will understand. Mom was right. Dad was right. I'm glad they gave me boundaries. I'm glad I had rules. It made me into the man or woman that I am today. And it's helped me to know how to raise my own children. How do I know this? Well, for years, up in Maine, at my previous church, I was involved in a summer camping program at Camp Winneogwemoc. I was a counselor for several years, and then I was the camp director or co-director for several years as well. I was late to the game. Renee and the boys were going 2 or 3 years prior to my being involved. But I was interested in that ministry, and I highly recommend Christian summer camping ministry. If your child has an opportunity to go, take it. It can I've seen it transform lives. But the first year I went up, I was a camp counselor. And I was convinced that the way I could get this cabin full of tweens and teens to like me was to be their buddy, was to be their friend, was to not use the word no, but say yes to everything, and then I'll be popular. And wouldn't you know it, that is absolutely not what happened. At the end of that week of camp, they didn't respect me. They didn't listen to me. I'm not so sure I was the kind of Christian leader that they needed for that week. I don't have any problem disciplining my own children, but other people's kids I was struggling with, especially because at the end of the week, the camp counselor who was the most popular, who all the kids were sitting around on the front steps of their cabin and laughing and joking and having a good time, was the one that was the strictest at the beginning of the week, who exerted discipline, and who happened to be named Renee Soderberg. But it was true, and it was an epiphany for me. When we allow our children to do whatever they want, stay up as late as they want, play video games for as many hours on end as they want, not do their homework, not eat a healthy meal on a regular schedule. When we allow our kids to do whatever they want, we may not realize it, but what we're saying to them is we don't care what happens to you. Go ahead. Pal around town with your friends. Come home whatever time you come home. It doesn't matter to me what happens to you. I know that's not what we mean, that's not what we intend, but that's what we say. Without even knowing it. That's, more importantly, that's what they hear. Sometimes without even knowing it. So, when we take our children and we draw boundaries around them. You can't go beyond this boundary. If you do, there are consequences. We are saying that because we know beyond this boundary is danger. Beyond this boundary, you can be hurt. Beyond this boundary, you're going to be going down a road you do not want to go down. Why oftentimes we know that? Because we have been there. So we draw boundaries. We have rules, and if they go beyond the boundaries, there is discipline. No one likes the discipline, but it's designed to keep them safe and healthy. Is this not, in one way, a set of boundaries for God's children? That he doesn't want us to go beyond for the exact same reason. He knows we will go down the wrong path and it will lead not to a good conclusion. And he loves us too much. So if we get beyond the boundaries, we get disciplined. Discipline is a way of showing or communicating to someone you're in charge of, that you do care what happens to them very much. So at the end of the week, I was not the most popular camp counselor. I was too easy. God sometimes disciplines us. He said very clearly in verse 12, "For the Lord corrects those he loves just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights." Just because he delights in this child does not mean he doesn't discipline them or correct them. God sometimes disciplines us, and just like our tweens and our toddlers and our teens, we don't like it either. But at times when we go beyond the boundaries because we think we have all the answers, something will happen. God will allow something to take place, which is disciplining us, correcting us, suffering the consequences of our actions. In a very real way, God is our Father, and we're all still teenagers. We think we have all the answers. We think we know what's best, and we want to do what we want to do. Some things just don't change. So, do not reject discipline, Solomon tells us. Number four. Number three, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the very best part of everything you produce. There is not a person within the sound of my voice who cannot click on that giving online tab on our website and give something to the ministry of South Congregational Church. Every single one of us can. I hear it all the time from folks. Well, I don't have any extra. And yet, as they're telling you, they're holding a Dunkin' Donuts coffee cup in their hand. As they're telling you, they're holding a McDonald's bag in their hand. I can't give. I don't have the money. We're not supposed to give God the extra, the what's left over. That's not what Solomon says. Solomon says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the best part of everything you produce. Now, please, I know during this time, there are a lot of people out of work. I understand that. I do. That's why it would be so impressive to the Lord if we continued to give regardless. Let me give you an example. Our deacons, Carlos and Jacinia Flores, whether you know it or not, they were part of the people who suffered the fire here at Charter Oak Place a month or so ago. They lost everything. Right now, they are continuing to live in a hotel room looking for an apartment in town. Please keep them in your prayers. I can't imagine. I've never been through that, something like that myself, ever. A tornado, a flood, a fire. Will you lose everything? And my heart goes out to them. My heart breaks for them. We love them dearly. Even in the midst of that experience, the two of them, when they were able to get into their apartment to clear out whatever they could salvage, they grabbed their jar with the change in it for the children's lunch program in Haiti and brought it here to church. They needed to make sure they took care of those kids in Haiti. They could have used every single dime that was in that jar. They had nothing. They honored God with what they had. And every single one of us can do that. We can pick up cans on the side of the road, redeem them for a nickel, come and put a nickel in the offering plate. If that's the best we can do, it honors God. Now, please don't misunderstand. I am not preaching the prosperity gospel. I don't believe in the more you give to the Lord, you know, the more he will give you back, as if your giving to God is some sort of lottery ticket that is going to guarantee you wealth and prosperity. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying what Solomon is saying. If you honor the Lord with your wealth, with the best part of everything you produce, verse 10, then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. God blesses those who honor him. Honor him with your wealth and you will be blessed. Number two, do not be impressed with your own wisdom. Sometimes we are way too smart for our own good. And we love to tell people about it. How many times have you seen, I don't want to pick on anybody if you have one of these, but you're driving down the road or walking through a parking lot, and on the back of the car is a little bumper sticker that said, "Our son is an honor student." Because we love to lift up intellectual achievements, and we should, to a degree. But it always made me think, our son is an honor student. Imagine what Jesus and Mary's bumper sticker would read. Our son is an honor student. Our son is God. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom, your own intellect, because we don't know it all, and we never will. I've been through 12 years, 12? 4, 3, 3, 10. 10 years of schooling so far. No, not so far. That's it. 10 years of school is enough for a human being. 10 years of schooling, and yet when I do Bible study with my Bible study crew in the parlor, I can't tell you how many times I'll get stuck and I'll turn to Bob Sermolian and I'll ask him, the Bible says something like this, right? Where does it say that? And he'll pop it off. Kyle does this to me. What's the verse about da, 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 da? Oh, it's da, 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 da. I don't know it all. Don't laugh. You're not all that impressive either. Not compared to God. I mean, do we ever want to play a game of Bible trivia with the Lord? I don't think so. So let's not get too impressed with our knowledge. Like with Solomon, let's seek the Lord's wisdom. It's going to be far better. Believe me, you don't know it all. I don't know it all. And as soon as we believe we do, he will show us how wrong we are. After 10 years of school, one of my greatest lessons that I've learned is how much I do not know. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom and knowledge. And then number one, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Do not depend on your own understanding. Just as I did with the children's message, you have the truth in the yellow, you have human wisdom in the blue, and as soon as you start poisoning some of the truth of God with human wisdom, you don't have truth anymore. I know plenty of what I call cafeteria Christians or buffet believers who look at God's word, at God's wisdom, at God's truth as they do like a buffet. And what do you do with a buffet? You go up, you put your tray on the little thing, and you just take the food that you like. Right? You don't take the frog's legs. Who likes those? You leave them. You only take the things that you enjoy. Too many Christians do that in God's word. They just like to take the things that they agree with, that they think are true, that they think are right. And they leave behind those things they don't like or they disagree with. That's a cafeteria Christian. That's a buffet believer. Trust in the Lord Solomon says, lean not on your own understanding, because believe me, we don't understand. Not fully. Remember, this is the wisest man who ever lived telling us, trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't be impressed by your own knowledge and wisdom. Why? Because there is so much we do not understand. There are still a lot of things in here I don't get. When I hit that wall of I don't understand, I don't fill in the blanks. That's not for me. I didn't write this book. It's up to me to read it. When I get to a wall where I don't fully comprehend or understand why, I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I say, Lord, if that's the way it is, that's the way you want it to be. And I believe in you, I have faith in you, and I trust you. I don't understand everything that's in the Bible. I don't know everything. Just ask Bob Sermolian, he'll tell you. But God does. He wrote it. And Solomon is telling us to trust the Lord. It may not make sense at the moment. Sometimes it doesn't. Imagine when God came to Noah and said, build me an ark, a boat in the middle of the desert. It had never rained before. Why would you build a boat in the desert when it had never rained, far away from any body of water, and certainly far away from a significant body of water? There may have been the Sea of Galilee or something like that, but you need an ark for that? It made no sense. And yet Noah responded. He responded faithfully for 100 years as he built that boat. And then one day, it began to rain. Trust God, even if he's asking you to do something that doesn't make sense. Trust him. Imagine how Peter felt when Jesus said, go ahead, walk on the water, take a step out of that boat. Would you do it? You know, I know, this is physically impossible. We cannot step on top of water. God often asks us to do things that don't make sense. Forgive that person. Have mercy on that person. Help that person. Why? They don't deserve it. They've been mean to me. They've done da-da-da-da-da-da. Trust me, God says. Show compassion. Forgive. I forgave you. So you should forgive others. But that doesn't make sense. It's amazing to me how many things in our lives we will put our complete trust in. You ever been on a zip line? Where you grab onto that thing, you got the little harness and you go zipping down this line. Go Google it sometimes. There are some amazing zip lines all over the world. It looks like you go for a mile through jungles and above valley floors and waterfalls. It's crazy stuff. But people do it all the time. How do you know that zip line is not gonna break at the very moment you push off? You don't, but you do it anyway. What about bungee jumping? You ever been bungee jumping? I think I would like to try it, but I just don't have enough faith to strap something on to my ankles and jump off a bridge and hope that the person who set this up measured it so that the thing is not longer than the ground. And yet people do it all the time. Oh, it's great, I'm telling you. I went up to the amusement park and they got up in this crane and we put our trust in zip lines. We put our trust in bungee cords. We put our trust in hot air balloons. You ever been up in a hot air balloon? I haven't. Renee really wants to go, but I don't know. I mean, once you're up in the sky thousands of feet and your balloon starts losing air, there's no option. There's just you and gravity and ground. Yet lots of people go up in air balloons, go down zip lines, bungee cords. Most of us fly. You ever thought about that? When you get on an airplane, you are putting complete faith and trust in the mechanics that maintain that airplane and in the pilot and co-pilot who are going to fly that airplane. You don't think about it. You just trust. They're going to get you from point A to point B. I don't know if you've ever been parachuting, but you trust that the person who packed that parachute did it properly and that it's functioning okay. We are willing to put our full faith and trust, our very lives, in such things as those. Should we not trust the Lord with all our heart, not lean on our own understanding? Do I really? Would I jump off a bridge with a bungee cord attached to my ankle if the Lord told me to? Would you? Trust in the Lord. You know, when we're all together and able to meet all together, I'm blessed on the first Wednesday of every month, I get to go down to the Bryant Room and spend a few minutes with our South Church ladies, and we do a devotional together. And it seems like this year, one of the themes that we keep hitting upon is do not worry, which is very clear. Jesus is very, very clear that we should not worry. So when you're anxious about something, and I come along and say, Jesus says not to worry, is that helpful? I struggle with it. Do not worry. You might as well say to me, do not eat donuts. Do not worry. But when we worry, we are not trusting. We're not having faith in the Lord. Jesus said, does your worry add but a single moment to your life? We shouldn't worry, even during this COVID-19 coronavirus scare. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. Don't worry about things that are beyond your control. Hakuna Matata, as they say in The Lion King. We need to remember that when things are out of our control, they are never out of His. God is sovereign. He is, by definition, in control of it all. I'm not saying this is easy, friends. Not in the least. I'm not saying I'm successful at it. Not in the least. I'm saying what you need to hear and what I need to hear. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He will never let you down. He will never lead you astray. But we have to trust Him fully and completely with all our heart. Pastor John Ortberg wrote a great book in 2014 that spoke to this. It's titled, If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. If we want to walk on water, we got to step over the side. Amen. If you want God to do a miracle in your life, if I want God to do a miracle in my life, or if we want to be a miracle in someone else's, we need to have trust in Him fully and completely, even more than we do the pilot who's flying us to our destination. Don't take my word for it. Take Solomon's, the wisest man who ever lived, who could have asked for anything, and he asked for wisdom, and he was given wisdom. And he said, trust the Lord with all your heart. Friends, if we can trust zip lines and bungee cords, we should really trust the Lord fully and completely. You will be blessed. Would you pray with me? Father, we are just grateful for the wisdom and truth of Solomon, for his heart that he asked for wisdom, and for sharing God's wisdom with each of us for generations to come. I pray that we understand when we are being disciplined, when we are being corrected, it is because we have a God who loves us and wants to keep us safe and healthy. I pray that our children will understand when we discipline them, when our Sunday school kids are disciplined, that they too will one day understand and realize it was because we love them. Help us to receive correction and discipline. Help us to honor you with our wealth. And help us to trust you with our whole heart and not lean on our own understanding. In Jesus' precious name, amen.